Lisa Lanier, she's our official attorney of this program. She's the president of Lanier Law Group, joins us every week at this time for Lawyer Up. Hey, Lisa, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. I hope you guys are.
Doing well, thanks. Lisa has told us multiple times that when she was taking classes in international law at UNC Chapel Hill, she sat in the back of the auditorium and played the board game Battleship.
And because, classic.
Classic Battleship.
Classic.
Do your kids play now too, Lisa?
Yeah, they like it a lot. Yeah, it's still a favorite of mine as well.
Game of strategy and deceit.
That was the most boring class on the planet. Yeah, okay. To my credit,
all
the
right.
Teacher just, yeah, was terrible.
Unfortunately, let's take you to Germany now.
They should have made your law professor in that class wear one of those wigs.
Yes.
That makes it a little more fun.
Powder wig.
Yeah.
See if you think this would fly. Yeah. I can't believe they did this. Would it fly in the United States? There is a guy who has been working from home in Germany during the pandemic. And he recently got out of bed, and on his walk downstairs to start working at his desk in his home office, he tripped and broke parts of his back. So he filed an insurance claim through work that said he was commuting from his bedroom to the home office. And the court in Germany agreed with that and made the insurance pay through work. The work insurance had to pay his medical bills because he was commuting to work by walking down the stairs. Would that fly in the United States, Lisa? What do you think?
I don't think it would fly in the United States because we don't cover commuting under our workers' comp laws. Germany is actually, they were the pioneer. They were one of the first countries to ever have a workers' comp system. It's known as the German Statutory Accident Insurance Plan. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's very effective. They have great results. Most employers have to contribute to it. They have a 90% return to work ratio. But they cover commuting, which is, in the United States, we don't cover, it's not considered a workplace accident if you're commuting. You have to actually be in a situation where you have sort of clocked in, and then you had to, like, drive to a client's house or a patient's house or something like that, or drive to make a delivery.
Yeah.
You have to actually be in the course and scope of your employment. So, but in Germany, they cover the commute, always have. And so what they're saying is, look, it's the same as his commute. Like, he was headed to his desk. It's the same as his morning commute.
Amazing.
Yeah. But that would cover you if you fell, you know, getting on or off a train.
Yeah, yeah.
Train wrecked.
In Germany, it's covered. Yeah, absolutely. Or if you're on your driving on your way to work and you get in a car crash. In Germany, that's covered. Not in the United States.
So
unreal.
That's so literally foreign to us. Yeah. We have no concept of that whatsoever.
Insurance ain't gonna cover that.
No, we're not cover that here. No, we don't do
that. David started on Germans and insurance.
Jeez. Oh man. Two things Dave hates most. Insurance and Germans.
Old Germans.
He's okay with new Germans. Old Germans he can't.
Yeah, St. Paul girl, she's fine.
God,
the walled, the pre-wall Germans.
God, Dave, that's so true. I didn't even put that together. That those are the two things right in your crosshairs.
Mm-hmm. I don't even like schnitzel.
No, I know. You've commented on it many times. Now, a couple of celebrities in the news today and lawsuits against them. Taylor Swift is the first. She had a huge hit song called Shake It Off 7 years ago. But now, and since then, by the way, about 5 or 6 years ago, a lawsuit has been filed by guys named Sean Hall and Nathan Butler. They wrote a song called Playa's Gonna Play, which came out in 2001 by JLW. And they're saying that their lyrics, play is gonna play, hate is gonna hate, are in the Taylor Swift song and that she took it from their song. Now, it's been in and out of courts, but now what's been decided is that a jury will decide whether or not she stole parts of this song. We have both songs now. Now, what I'm reading is that a judge now has said there's enough similarities that this needs to go in front of a jury here. The lyrics are too similar. Biggie was saying earlier that he thinks, look, a lot of people, the slang, the vernacular has been for the last 20 years, play is going to play, hate is going to hate. So it could come, you know, both could use it. Do you think Taylor's going to wind up paying these guys who wrote that first song, Lisa? What do you think?
Well, she certainly is in more danger of that than she was when this case first hit. So these guys filed suit back in 2017, And the court dismissed the case and said that these are just common words and you can't monopolize these common words with a copyright. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what Beat was saying. These are phrases that are commonly used.
Yep.
But they appealed, and the appellate court has said, no, I think that there's, this is for a jury to decide if that was a copyright violation. So they've sent it back. It will go to a jury for trial. So oftentimes when that happens, the celebrity ends up settling out of court to avoid getting possibly tagged for some huge amount by the jury. And what they have to show, the 2001 folks that originally did the song that are claiming the copyright violation, they have to show two important things. They have to show that Taylor Swift had access to this work prior to writing her song or to producing her song. And they also have to prove then that her work is substantially similar to theirs. And I think, I think the second one there, I mean, it does seem pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
But did she have access to it? Because they put out this song in 2001 when she was 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but I'd never heard of this song before.
I hadn't either, yeah.
And if she testifies and can show that she had never heard this song before, and it's, like Biggie said, it's coincidental because it's a commonly used phrase, then she wins.
Mm-hmm. But how,
I think that might be the case.
I think she's going to, but how can you prove that? How can you say, well, I never heard it? I haven't, and it wasn't a huge hit.
It went to number 89 in the Billboard Hot 100.
Right, yeah, so I don't.
Yeah.
Check at 81, excuse me.
Well, I think you could just say, look, I was 11, I never heard this song before. And as Biggie said, play is going to play, hate is going to hate.
I say it all the time.
He says it constantly,
Yeah. What's it going to take to make him go away if you got to settle?
Well, is that the question? If you were Taylor's lawyer, Lisa, and you were giving her legal advice.
Write a check.
Would you say write a check, or would you say hang in there?
If you could get the other folks to agree to a reasonable amount, I think the better thing to do is to definitely settle it. Because, she could end up, like you said, the jury could decide, hey, we don't believe you that you had no access to this song because she was a pretty young person when she started performing. And so they're probably thinking, you listen to all kinds of music. You probably heard this and just copied it.
Say what?
And if music is her life, clearly music is her life. I mean, at age 11, she was consuming the radio.
Well, absolutely. Right. Yeah, true.
Right.
But it's not a big hit. I don't know.
But if she bought their CD, it would be on there.
But it's a lot easier stroking a check one time than having to give percentages on this song for God
forever.
Knows how long.
That's her biggest hit.
Isn't that what the penalty would be if Taylor's guilty?
Probably. And it'll be used in movies, I'm sure, and commercials. I mean, it already has been.
It'll be around.
Many times. I'll tell you this, though. Taylor will go to court. Remember that DJ that grabbed her on the buttocks?
She's not afraid of the courtroom.
Oh, yeah.
She'll get in the courtroom now.
She's not afraid. Yes, she won't back down.
We have another celebrity. It's not even a lawsuit. I just wanted to see if you think it ever could be. The story takes place in Italy, so,
Here we go.
Here we go. International again. Oh, my gosh.
In 1997, Sting and his wife Trudy Styler bought a vineyard in Tuscany. In a new interview, Sting claims, "We were tricked into buying this vineyard. We considered legal action, didn't know if we had any. The seller was a man named Duke Simone Vincenzo Velluti Zatti di San Clemente."
Oh, yeah.
And according
Clemenza. Of the Sicily Clemenza?
Right. According to Sting, he and Trudy Styler were touring a vineyard while on vacation in Tuscany. And the man that I just mentioned offered him a Chianti from the estate.
Mm.
Sting took a sip of it and said, "I want to buy your vineyard." Okay, right there, he's like, "I'm buying your vineyard," after having one glass of wine from it. So they made the deal. He bought the vineyard. After all of that, he realized the wine that he was served was made at a different vineyard entirely.
Mamma mia.
And when he tasted the wine from the vineyard he just bought, it was swill. Awful.
Terrible wine.
He said the guy had played a trick on him and
sold him a fugazi.
Totally blind. Sold him a fugazi. Now, after he said this, the son of Duke Simone Vincenzo Velluti Zatti di San Clemente says, "My father lived until 2012. You never made this claim until after he was dead. So in Italian, you pulled a bubble morto."
What?
Right. Which is a Tuscan expression that means dishonoring my father after he has died.
Oh.
Hey, blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
So the son is upset.
Don't anger an Italian.
Now, Lisa, let me ask you this, Lisa. You know bupkis about foreign law, but if you did, would Sting have had a lawsuit on something like that? Or would this kid have a lawsuit against Sting for claiming his father, pulling a bobo morto, as we say? Is there any lawsuit to be had?
Yeah, so actually Sting needs to watch out what he says about this guy, because in Italy, they take defamation very, very seriously. It is a crime punishable by imprisonment. It's not just a civil claim for damages, but it, and the penalty is worse if you defame a dead person. So they take this Baba Morto stuff really seriously.
Baba Morto.
Just keep the property, Sting.
If I'm Sting's lawyer, I'm telling him to zip it and zip it fast.
That's interesting.
Now he's not going to be able to sell it. Now we can't unload the property.
Listen to this, though. Since then, that's 20-some years ago. He bought it in 97. Since then, he's torn out everything in the vineyard.
New winemaker.
Redone it, hired new people, and he says now he makes excellent wine on that vineyard.
All right. Hmm.
But he just said in an interview, you know, this guy sold it to me. It was a bill of goods. He totally faked me on that, and that's why I bought it. But he said, I considered a lawsuit, but instead of doing that, I made better
make
one.
It better.
Made better
make
one.
It work.
You talk about my papa, huh?
Yeah. Oh, God, this kid is really upset.
He needs to watch out, because they take it really seriously, especially some foreign person coming into Italy and talking bad about the dead father. You know, but what Sting was trying to do was toot his own horn about how hard they toiled to make this winery turn around and, you know, go from terrible to wonderful. But I think he needs to reframe his success story a little bit before he ends up in the slammer.
Well, they live there part-time, right?
They do, yeah.
Yeah.
So I just assumed.
Poor Sting out there cutting vines all by himself, tearing down the vineyard. Right.
You know what I heard about
building
Sting?
Barrels.
Yeah. He's a cooper.
Sting was here recently doing like a show.
Yeah, with a symphony.
The symphony.
Yes.
And somebody went to that show that I know and said Sting was really funny. He talked about all his songs and all the writing of it and everything. And he was really charismatic and funny up on the stage. And he had always thought of Sting as being kind of a stuffed shirt, but he was not at all.
Yeah, his persona can be a little aloof, I think, at times.
Yeah.
But he's kind of embracing his stature. And I mean, he's 70.
Yeah. Biggie always compares him to you, Chris Dem, for being, you know, aloof and not
wanting to live in Tuscany and drink wine.
Right. And that's all he wants to. You never have been a big Sting man, have you, Biggie?
I like the Police.
Right.
It's the same thing. I thought Sting was stuffy.
Yes.
You know.
I thought so.
I kind of celebrated when he bought the bad winery.
You know.